we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. Happy Monday to you. We're glad that you are tuning in. We're launching our 65th year of ministry at Merritt Assembly of God today. And so we are glad that you are a part of that. So thank you for tuning in. We are sending off six people from our church this week on missions trips. And so pray for us if you would. That's going to, they're very actively involved in the church. And so that's going to place some increased responsibilities on some of us there at the church. And we know God's going to use them powerfully, and we want to do our jobs effectively as well. So if you would be praying for us, we would greatly appreciate that. We're going to get into the Word today, Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, by the way, tonight is our Women of Worth meeting at the church. If you are interested in being a part of that, they normally start eating about 6:30 in the fellowship hall, and 7 o'clock is when they start the ladies meeting. So if that would be a blessing to any of you ladies, come and join us. It's in the fellowship hall, park back in the parking lot where the two basketball goals are. And that's the shortest way to get in there. So let's get into Isaiah chapter 11 today. Isaiah chapter 11, and just begin reading. I'm going to read basically I'm going to read about the first 10 verses. How's that? Verse number 1, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." So we have spent a pretty extended period of time talking about the first 3.5 verses of chapter 11 here in Isaiah. I want to begin focusing on the latter part of verse 4 right now to begin with. And it says, "And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." And what I want to basically communicate to you today is what we need more than anything to help us gain victory over enemies that are trying to undermine us or attack us, is we need a fresh word from the throne of heaven. The scripture says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." A lot of times we think we need numbers, we need this, but I'm reminded of the scripture, God is able to save by many or by few. God really is God all by himself. He doesn't need, you know, military armament the way that mankind does. He doesn't need military superiority. His word trumps everything. The scripture says that God has exalted his word and his name above all else. And so I just simply want to remind you today that if we can get into his presence, if we will open our ears to listen to what God has to say, he will give us the word that will bring victory. And our vintage service last week, I was sharing out of Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4, and it says, he wakens my ear morning by morning to listen like one being taught, or to listen as like a person who's learned. And so we need God to create in our ears, in our hearing, an appetite to hear. That's why in Revelation it says, let him who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The word of God. Listen, it goes on here and it says, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. His word is in authority in the full circumference of the earth, from east to west, north to south. It doesn't matter. Wherever you go on this globe, the word of God is going to be able to bring victory. So I believe that it's a good place to start this week and say, God, would you give me a word? I don't wake up with a lot of uncertainty in my life because of directive words that God has given to me. Sometimes I wake up tired, but that's from a lack of sleep, not necessarily from a lack of direction. And so if you have not received a strategic word from God, I encourage you to get into your prayer closet, and instead of doing all of the talking, why don't you make yourself available to do some listening? The scripture says, be still and know that I am the Lord. And so there is a word that comes from the throne. It is a word of power. It is a word of authority. It is a word that cannot be withstood. And it says, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. There is this tremendous misconception out there that if a person is suffering physically, that if all of a sudden they pass away, they perish, they die, that their suffering has come to an end. And that is true if the person who is suffering is a child of God. If not, I just want to bring the truth of God's word to you. And the reality is this: if we are not saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if we are not walking in fellowship with him, then death is not the end of suffering for those people. Death is just the beginning of suffering. That's why it is so imperative and why we are so driven to carry out the Great Commission, to take the gospel to the four, or to the ends of the earth, that all might hear, that all might know, that all might be saved. And so we want to restore value spiritually and relationally. Wherever people go, that's what we want to do. This is not just an Isaiah truth. This is a Word of God truth. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 19, I'm turning over there myself, Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11 says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We really need to grow past this immature attitude that the only parts of the Word of God that we read are the parts that make us comfortable. Instead, there should be some growth that takes place there, some maturity. There should be some enlightenment that comes into our spiritual, our spirit, so that we grow and mature and we begin to understand it. And please understand that not everybody is going to heaven. It's not that Jesus doesn't want them there. It's just that people have chosen wickedness instead of holiness. People have chosen depravity over righteousness. And you can choose whichever one you want. Listen, the scripture says God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. He wants all to come to repentance. And so the invitation is there. He cares enough about you to let you know what the consequences are, what the end of the journey looks like. So today, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please do so today. Don't put it off. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed later today. And so please make him the Lord of your life today. I can tell you from 35 years of ministry that I've seen a lot of people who their promotion into eternity came at a very young chronological age. So please don't put it off, and don't toy with the Word of God. Embrace the Word of God and allow God to transform your life. The Word makes our life better, not worse. The enemy, listen, when Jesus gave the parable of the sower, and some seed fell here and some seed fell there and some seed fell, it said that the birds of the air came to steal the word before it could produce fruit. There was also cares of life that tried to choke out the word. There were some difficulties and things like that. And the seed that was sown there was the word. The enemy does not want the Word of God taking root in our heart, because when it does, it brings understanding, it brings wisdom, it brings transformation. And so please, let's this summer make the Word of God a priority. Two other principles here in verse number 5 that I want to talk to you about that are key elements in the kingdom of God. They help hold things together, and that is righteousness and faithfulness. Righteousness and faithfulness. Righteousness is not just the opposite of unrighteousness. It is also the opposite of perversity, where perverse means to make something crooked. We live in a day and time where every sort of standard is being made crooked. Now, I challenge the same people who are wanting to adjust other standards to fit their own understanding and make it fit. I know of a place that when there was some work done, it made a wall crooked. The wall was originally put up straight, but it made the wall crooked. That it actually now has kind of a curvature, like a reverse S, if you will. And so whenever you look at it, whenever you put something straight up against it, it's only then that you realize that it is about a quarter of an inch or a half inch out of straight. It's not straight. It's not fit to be a standard anymore. It also causes other problems when you're trying to attach something to that wall. And so my challenge to those who want to change the standards of righteousness is this: how would you feel if all of a sudden your boss showed up and said, you know, we're going to change the standard by which you get paid? You have no say in the matter, no debate in the matter. We're just going to change it. Now we are going to pay you in tiddlywinks instead of in dollars and cents. You would say, wait a minute, that's not right. It's not fair. You know, there are laws on the books, and well, we've just changed the standard. Well, who are you to change the standard? That would be the question. Do you have the authority of the Treasury Department? Do you have that kind of authority? And if you say no, then you would say, oh, well, I guess we'd better keep that standard then. And my question is, who are we to change the standards of righteousness that God has put in us in place? Are we the all wise? Are we the all knowing? Or are we just doing it because it's more convenient to us? Well, you know, for that guy, I saw where a judge in Italy decided that somebody could pay their alimony. This guy happened to be a chef, and the judge decided that he could pay his alimony in pizza. And I'm thinking, well, pizza, you know, he might be well known for his pizza making, but his pizza isn't going to sell or to be able to be a bargaining commodity. They're not going to be able to do business with the pizza. And so changing standards, it's always done out of convenience for somebody. But the real question is, do you have the authority to change that? Righteousness is one of the core integral commodities in the kingdom of God, the right standing that we have with God. You know, you can often tell from a person's position, from their countenance, from the way that they look, the way that they interact with people, whether there is something going on with them, whether there's something that's not right. When I first came to Florida, I went to a minister's meeting, first one I'd ever been to, and they said, what we have found is that if there is a problem in the financial area of life, it is generally indicative of greater spiritual problems in other areas of life as well. And so I don't want those, I don't want those problems. I want to be able to look people in the eye. I want to be able to carry myself with uprightness. I want to be able to be, like I mentioned the other day, part of the bride, not part of the blemish. And so righteousness is very important. You go in and read in Romans and you will see that God wants to use us as instruments of righteousness, whereby we used to use the members of our body as instruments of unrighteousness. And so it's not negotiable. It's not a spiritual buffet where, you know, I think I'm going to leave holiness and righteousness. I think I'm going to leave that to the pastor and the church leadership. It's not that way. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins. This was a kind of a military type term where it held the various pieces of the clothing together. It's not just a belt that was around the waist to hold the pants up. It wasn't that way at all. It tied everything together. And so righteousness is the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And I remind you, to the faithful, God shows himself faithful. He is always faithful. He is faithful to his word. I was reading someplace in the scriptures the other day, and it referred to the Son as God's Son, S-U-N. His son, possessive, it belongs to him. So when the son comes up and stays true to the covenant that God had created with it, it is because of God's faithfulness. Today, I declare to you that no matter what happened this weekend, that God is still faithful. He is faithful. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I will be honest with you. It angers me. It angers me when I hear of men who abandon their families. It makes me mad. I know that man's anger doesn't bring about God's righteousness. I know that. But I want to help educate them. And so I don't know what your weekend was like. It may have been the greatest week that you ever experienced. It might have been the worst week you've ever experienced, but I want you to know that God is faithful. And my concept of his faithfulness is that he's faithful to forgive. He's faithful to come. He's faithful to take me to be where he is, that where he is, there I'm going to be forever. He's faithful to prepare a place for you. He's faithful to equip you for the purpose that he created you from the foundation of the earth. He's faithful to be with you during that journey, to never leave you, to never forsake you. God is faithful. So the thing that I want to encourage you is it is a perverse standard to expect faithfulness from others while living out unfaithfulness in our own lives. Unfaithfulness is not something that should be celebrated. It's not something that should be endorsed. It's not something that should be embraced. It's something that should be repented of and ask God to transform it. Don't allow unfaithfulness to have a toehold in any area of your life. Okay, in verse number six, from verse number six to verse number nine, I want you to listen to this. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. I just want to share with you what it says here and why this transformation is taking place. It says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." What you are reading in that passage of scripture is that Isaiah is prophesying that there is coming a time when nature itself, where the beasts of the earth, that their very nature is going to be changed. That which was once prey and hunter, now they dwell together in harmony. It talks about how the lion, which is a carnivore, would actually have its dietary system transformed to where it ate straw like an ox. There would not be any threat. There would not be any danger. There would be harmony. It talks about that the very nature of the animals on the planet itself would be transformed, and that which is currently toxic or deadly to man, that it would be rendered innocent, and a child could actually put its hand down in there and play with snakes like it does with its childhood toys. And you say, "Well, that's kind of far-fetched, don't you think?" I was like, "No, God can do anything. How would he bring that about? How would he bring that about?" And it says in verse number 9, it tells the reason, and it says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That means that God is ruling and reigning. He's reigning in the hearts of every man and all creation. You realize Romans says that all creation groans right now during this time where man is trying to have his way contrary to the ways of God. And God says, there is coming a day. I am telling you, I'm giving this message to Isaiah to prophesy to you that the earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It also says the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So I'm really looking forward to that time where the nature of our very existence changes. You know, not only is the nature changed, but the activities and their pursuit. You know, someone said that the slowest gazelle has to be faster than the fastest lion. And every lion has to be faster than the slowest gazelle in order for them to stave off starvation. But with God in dominion and control of the earth, everybody is able to enjoy the beauty and the rest of creation the way that God intended in the first place. Verse number 10, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner. It's a banner of victory. It's a banner of love. It is a banner to know where to camp. That's what it is. It's not just an advertising banner. It declares the location, the nature, the sovereignty of that place, and says that this, the Lord shall stand there as a root of Jesse, and he shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him. This is what I love about the heart of God. His intent was never to be exclusionary. He created a chosen people, and from that chosen people, he was going to bring redemption for all of humanity. His heart has always been for the Jew and for the non-Jew. It has been for people to seek him and find him, even though he is not very far away. And so today I want you to lift up your eyes, because Jesus is on the throne. Today, if we will seek him, we will find him when we seek him with all of our heart. And it says, his resting place shall be glorious. His resting place shall be glorious. You know, I don't know how you feel, but after you've been in a moment of intensity, a season of intensity, isn't it nice to have a place to rest? I really like to watch these remodeling programs, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm amazed at how much money people pour in. You know, what is your maximum budget? And well, we'll go over that too, just a little bit. But they end up coming out with these places, and they say, you know, wow, this is as nice as a 5-star spa or something like that. And they talk about how glorious the home is. As a person who's had to repair a lot of things, let me tell you what I would think about about those homes that would be the most glorious: that there's no more work or repairs that need to be done. That's glorious. Well, when we are in the presence of God and people are seeking him, that is what is a glorious place. Let's fulfill the desire of God and the longing of God. Let's be a people who will seek his face. To so many times, people are seeking his hand without seeking his face. They're looking for his provision without relationship with him. Let's make seeking God's face a priority. And when we seek him, we will find that when we rest in him, when we experience that Sabbath rest, it's going to be glorious. That's what God has in store for us. It's Monday. You got a long week ahead. Let's let the word of God prevail in our lives. God bless you. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart I bring you something new. I tell how great you are. I tell my praise to you. It's like an order.